I think we should just get right into this.
All
right. How did you feel about the movie?
I didn't rewatch the first one. I rewatched
the first one this week, and there was a huge element of the second one that I didn't even remember was in the first one. And I'll tell you when we get to give some thoughts. Yeah, but
all right. I remember really liking the first one. Saw it twice, 4.5 stars. I rated it,
mm-hmm.
And that was 2019, I believe it was. So it was a while ago.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty disappointing. Didn't really have a lot of fun. Not many jokes that I thought really landed with me. So much. I just didn't really care at the end of the day. And you know, maybe that's part of the whole, you know, this universe is ending. So we don't really, not really much I'm taking from the movie.
Yeah.
But I just didn't really care. I thought there was a lot of things that didn't quite work. I was confused about the whole kind of taking of the powers. How does that work? You know, you take the power, but then we see Jack Dylan Grazer later when they're up in the kind of temple area, or kind of looks like Olympus or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he like Shazam's back and he's his powerful form again. So then I was like, so he has his powers back or he doesn't have them.
I think he's Captain Every Power.
Yeah. The family aspect like worked, but at the same time, it didn't work for me because I felt like they set it up in the beginning with the whole, you know, kind of, oh, you know, Billy's not calling, I forget her name. The foster mom. What's her name?
Rosa.
Rosa. Doesn't call Rosa mom. He just calls her Rosa. So then, you know, she gets upset, and rightfully so. You know, he's been living there, I think, 2 years at this point. You think maybe he would, you know, he'd have that relationship, but he doesn't have it.
But don't worry, the dad says, you know, don't worry, it takes time.
Don't worry, it takes time. So they set that up, and you said, okay. You know, they're going to really build this relationship throughout the movie. He might have 1, 2, maybe 3 conversations with her talking about, you know, maybe somehow she finds out about the power. They have these conversations. He doesn't really know what to do, etc. But at the end of the day, we just kind of get to this moment where they kind of force you into this moment with her. Mm-hmm. And he calls her mom, and it just is not earned at all. And it really made me mad because I was like, you set this up at the beginning and you had a really big chance to build this relationship and you didn't do that at all. I didn't think Helen Mirren or Lucy were that good. Like, I didn't find them that good. I thought Rachel Zegler was fine. I thought everybody was fine. I didn't think anybody was like blew me out of the water acting wise. And something that just to wrap this up, cause I'm kind of rambling at this point, something that didn't really stand out to me watching it, but I've seen a lot of people talk about is how Zachary Levi is playing Shazam as a 14-year-old, but mm-hmm. Billy Batson as a kid is like 18.
Yeah.
So the ages like don't match where their personalities are, which is very, and I see that now, but you know, in the moment I wasn't really paying attention to, but that is a very big thing that, you know, obviously. Yeah. But I was very disappointed.
Me too. I'll say this. I think watching it after, because I came to it late. I watched it yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I will say this. I think definitely a lot of what you said I completely agree with. I think I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. I think that I was, you know, just based on what everyone's saying, that I was kind of going to walk into a train wreck. I'll say, I think like you, I gave the first movie, I think like 4, maybe 3.5, mm-hmm. 4 stars or something like that. Might have even been higher back when it came out, but you know, I just rewatched it. I think I gave it 3.5 or 4. Really enjoyed it and everything like that. I think it has heart. You know, actual magic on screen with, you know, I think that the foster parents in the last movie were great. I think they were used perfectly. I think that they had interesting roles to play and everything like that. And this one, they're just relegated to, oh my god, what's Wolf Blitzer gonna say next? You know, it was just a lot of watching news and reaction shots and everything like that. And also, it's like, I get this suspension of disbelief, but like, obviously, they would figure out that their kids are the team of superheroes that look exactly like them, just older. Like, that was just, I just couldn't buy especially into Mary. That idea. Especially Mary, who, if I want to talk about one bright thing, I think that Grace Caroline Curry, who plays her, who plays Mary, and then also Mary Marvel, aka, you know, the super version of herself, I thought that she was fantastic in this. I thought that she was really one of the standouts. I think probably her, Jack Dylan Grazer, and Rachel Zegler for me, and Asher Angel for the 34 seconds that he's in the movie, I think was really, really good. I believed his dynamic picking right back up again with Jack Dylan Grazer. I liked kind of the beginning part where they were playing video games, and then he sees that Freddy's kind of acting weird, and he realizes there's like a call that they need to go on. I really liked the first act of this movie, like really liked it. I thought that the bridge sequence was corny, absolutely, but the a hero, I was like, okay, the team's working together, I'm buying into this. I was like, everybody's having fun, they're clearly way in over their heads and way too overly confident, but that's part of the charm from the first movie. After that sequence, really after the first team meeting thing, I thought that that was also cool, because of course, it's like, they have this lair, this like secret place, and they're kids, of course they're gonna like trash it. I was like, that's that's genius. And then really after that, once the second act started, once like Rachel Zegler is introduced, that's kind of the start of act two where we're in the high school with them, it really just started to nosedive for me. And then going back to some of the worst parts of the movie overall, I think that God bless Jimon Hansu, Lucy Liu, and Helen Mirren, but they were, the dialogue that they had and some of the delivery and everything, I was like, what are we doing here, man? Like, what is going on? Like,
yeah.
Lucy Liu especially for me, and I think that she's a fantastic
I would agree, too. I just couldn't get behind, like, just her character. I was like can we...
She's supposed to be this super menacing, imposing...
Yeah.
One, she's, you know, major spoiler alert, she's the actual, like, worst, like, villain one of the three sisters. She's the one that actually is like setting out to destroy humanity. The other two kind of try to get her to rethink it, and then end up, you know, well, other things happen to them that we can talk about later. But like Lucy, like she would just be on top of a dragon and be like, "Now you feel the full power," and it's like, full power what? Like, what? And just the way that she was like yelling it, like it just, it wasn't an ADR thing. It was just, it just sounded like she was just in the Daenerys rig on a big green screen, just shouting lines. All right, now shout it to the top left. Now shout it to the top right. Like, that's just what her role felt like. I think even Helen Mirren a little bit brought a little bit more to kind of elevate what was there, which really wasn't much. But again, in idea, I like the idea that one of the sisters is not so evil as the other one. But again, I think they just really took a lot of those ideas that could have been something and just kind of wasted them. But yeah, what are some of the other things?
Can you just explain to me, like, I don't really understand what their motivation is. So like, I feel like they're trying to take the powers to like avenge their father. I don't even really remember, like, their father, I'm assuming, possesses Mark Strong. Am I correct in that?
No, their father is just their father, I think their father is just Zeus.
Oh.
Like, I think that's just what it is. I think their motivation really doesn't make sense. That's why I say it could have just as easily been a Wonder Woman movie, because they're literally just gods who come to Earth and they're like, these guys, these champions, and that's the thing that I didn't even
remember. They don't deserve these powers, you know.
And that's the thing I didn't even remember from the first movie, was the fact that the staff was in the first one. The only time I remembered it was when they flashed back to the first movie with the staff. And I was like, oh, that's right. Mark Strong did have that staff in the first movie. There's really just no explanation to why they go to the museum. How did they get back to Earth? I thought they were supposed to
just show up in these random Roman Empire suits or something.
To what?
Very hot.
Are you trying to I didn't even understand that. Like, are we trying to, oh, the audience will think that it's Roman soldiers. But then they take their masks off, and it's Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu. Too bad that moment was in every trailer. Like, I don't know.
I really but yeah, that was innovation. That was one of the things where the whole time I was kind of like, I don't really understand why we're doing all this. Like, what is the point? Because that's not like at one point I was like, maybe did they say their world is destroyed? But at the same time, you know, they're out up here on Mount Olympus, it looks like. So it's like, well, clearly you have a home, you know. Yeah. So maybe your home's not really destroyed.
And that's what I don't understand. Not only is it not destroyed, but then it's, are you trapped there? But then, no, they're not, because they're on Earth. They seem to be able to go back and forth.
So am I mistaken in saying, so we take away Freddy's powers, right? Remember that.
On the rooftop.
And then... Which, and then, you know, they sneak
in with that teacher. You know, that was
that was really dark. Yeah. By the way, real pushback on people saying it's a family film. John Rocha had a live stream earlier today, and he was talking about like how, you know, people are saying it's a family film, but we have these very dark elements that go against it being a family film. And I agree with that. You know, this teacher unwillingly committing suicide, not very family. But Jack Dylan Grazer or Freddie. You know, him and Jamin Hatsu, they break out, you know, or Rachel Ziegler helps them. They go up and, you know, they're going to steal the apple or whatever. And then Zachary Levi comes in, and then Freddy says Shazam, and then he's his superhero self again. Am I incorrect in saying that? Doesn't that happen?
I don't remember. I literally just saw this yesterday, but that, I feel like there was a missing scene there, because I don't remember him saying Shazam. I just remember he sees them and he's like, oh my God, Freddy. And then the next scene, when Helen Mirren is like laid out, or she's like in like a garage, or they might be already on the rooftop near the stadium already, but whatever it is, it's just like all of a sudden he's just there.
Like, I think we might be talking about something different.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about they're in like their Mount Olympus thing.
See, I just didn't remember, like, when did Freddy get his powers back?
I don't know how he got them back.
That's what I mean. I don't think we ever saw that. Like, I don't think that was in the movie. I think that there was just, he got the powers taken away from him, then him and Jamin Hatsu were in the prison and everything, and then I felt like the next time we saw Freddy, he just had his powers back again.
Maybe we're wrong.
I don't know.
But I could have sworn that, like,
he's stealing the apple. Like, I know how logic would have worked, and it would have been like, when he steals the apple, so this is exactly what happened. So I'm trying to work it in my mind. So he goes to steal the apple. He knocks over the thing with his cane. And he goes, whoa! And then him and Jamin Hatsu, they try to hightail it into the room of doors. Yeah, they try to hightail it into the room of doors, and then the next time we see him is when they're putting Helen Mirren in that prison cell, and he's in his Shazam form. That's it. He knocks over the apple, him and Jamin Hatsu run through the door, and then the next time we see him, he's in his Shazam form, and they're all, that's what the shot that I was thinking of, they're all standing outside that cell, and they're like, only champions can get in and out of here, so you're done for. He's Adam Brody in that scene. So I think they genuinely just skip right over it. I think they just imply that the wizard Shazam gave them back to him.
Oh, all
right. I thought it was so stupid in this movie, the whole, I don't have a name. I don't even have a name yet. Your name is Shazam. Like, what are you talking about? Like, And then
you know the title of the movie? Surprise. The movie you're in?
Damn, yeah. And then surprise at the end of the movie. Wait. You never told me. What's my superhero name? Shazam. Oh, that makes sense. Like, no fucking shit. Like, I thought that was such a stupid
throughline. What'd you think of the Skittles advertisement?
I was just gonna go there. I thought, well, first of all, I don't think there's any way that wasn't a paid sponsorship. If it wasn't a paid sponsorship, I think infinitely more funny, just because, you know, it clearly did kind of, for me, toe that line, especially when they first started doing it, of like the Kylie Jenner, like Pepsi ad, like over the top on purpose, over the top. But then by the end of the movie, when you're with the unicorns and there's just like, taste the rainbow, we're going to need more Skittles. Man, these Skittles are sure coming in handy. And, but then they did have a funny one with the, you know, Darla going, you know, taste the rainbow, motherfucker. And then the unicorn, like, cut it off.
Yeah, that was
like, funny. Cute and funny and stuff. So,
again, not family.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, and I think, it, you know, it was, like, cute and fun, but I think on principle, yes, obviously atrocious levels of product placement and everything. But for me, it didn't, like, destroy the movie like for some people. Like, I saw one guy on Twitter was like what an absolute miscalculation of just, like, ruining any goodwill that the movie had, you know, and stuff like that. Didn't quite get to that level for me, only because I saw the humor in it. I thought of who David F. Sandberg is as a person, that I've seen videos of him, and I'm like, I feel like that he's doing more tongue-in-cheek at product placement than, you know, Mark Wahlberg opening up his eighth Bud Light in, you know, The Last Night. But it definitely still was blatantly obvious. Yeah. And the whole you know what's another thing I did, like, the whole Steven thing, the, like, pencil.
See, I thought that was funny, but then when Helen Mirren's reading that note, I was just kind of like, are we done yet? Like,
yeah.
Are we, she's still reading. I was like, maybe we ended it maybe a minute earlier.
You do, like, three sentences. You could just be the end of it.
Yeah. And you know, I might be in the minority in that. I feel like the theater I was in, there was people laughing. So obviously I was one of the people that didn't find it funny, as opposed to, I feel like, maybe the majority. But overall, you know, the movie just didn't really laugh all that much. I'm just going to go back again to the whole family thing, where something that I thought, again, was, like, just kind of, I feel like there's these miscalculated, like, family beats in this movie where it's like, you're supposed to, again, family movie, the rise of family, they're fighting the evil together. You know, they're all in that van, they all get out and they get on the unicorns, etc. But then, like, when Shazam, like, sacrifices himself, and, you know, he's saying bye to Freddy, which was actually, you know, I like that moment. But like, shouldn't the entire family be here? I get they're on unicorns, but, like, we're trying to build this up throughout the movie that they're one unit together. But now we just have the dad, the mom, and Freddy, and Athena, who are just kind of like, it's like, okay, where's everybody else though? It's like, don't you think if he dies, everybody else will care too? You know,
like Mary, I just, and Darla and everybody.
Yeah, I was like, can we figure out a way to get them all together? Maybe, like, I don't know why they have to be split up.
That was weird for me, and also just again, I'll say this: I think for me, the strongest was the first and then the third act. I think the middle was really, really rough, and everything that, and also just the if we're making the pizza of a Shazam review, the Parmesan, you know, sprinkled cheese over the top of everything. It's just so basic. It's just such a story we've seen 20,000 times before. Like, it's so obvious to say that, but just everything else that we're saying. Because I'm just thinking to myself, if I sound like I'm leaning more positive on the movie, it's only because the so obvious fact of, you know what a movie I compared it to? Is I was like, this is like if Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Captain America all bombed, and then this was Iron Man 2. And there was never going to be an Avengers movie. That's what this feels like. It's like, okay, it's kind of a Shazam sequel. It's kind of another cog in this, you know, Amanda Waller's Justice Society setup piece thing. And it's not going to follow through on either one of them. You know what I mean? So it's like if you got to the end of Iron Man 2 and Nick Fury was like, you know, we're putting together the team and we want Iron Man, but we don't want you. You know, we'll be in touch. And then we just never picked up on anything ever again. Like, that's kind of what I compare it to. Because it's just, it feels like a movie from 2010. It feels like a movie from 2004. You know, it's just a villain. Oh, the villain wants to take, and it's the motivation. There's two super obvious conveniences in this movie. One, obviously, we will get to that we haven't talked about yet. With the ghost. But the other one is, you know, and I, like I said, I liked the idea of Anne and what is it, Hespia, of Helen Mirren, like that they they were like, we need to save our people, and then Lucy Liu was like, no, we need to kill everyone on Earth. Like, I liked that difference. But the way that it was carried out, where she was just like, no, I'm doing this, and then just, like, planted the tree, and they were just like, well, here we go. I guess we're taking over the Earth. Like, it was just so
And Hellmir gets stabbed through the back by the dragon. Like,
yeah, like, I was just like, okay. But then lived for another 15 minutes. Yeah. Oh my god. There was another Marvel movie, I think, that or another superhero movie that did that not that long ago, where it was like somebody had a horrific injury and then like 10 minutes happened and then it went back to them. Oh, I think it was Harcourt in Peacemaker. She gets that shotgun blast and then there's like 15 minutes of stuff and he's like, "Don't worry, I'll take care of you." And she's like, "Okay."
Oh, yeah.
It's like she would be dead. She would be absolutely like bled out and dead. But yeah, I mean, I just think that it was just so convenient that kind of switch in Lucy Liu's character that I really didn't buy. I wasn't buying her as the first version of her character. So when she went full evil, I was buying it even less. And then that awful Khaleesi joke. But then let's talk about.
Oh God.
Let's talk about.
I thought, are we past that at this point? It's been years.
I know.
Like, it's been, one thing if Game of Thrones is still on the air, but.
I mean, Game of Thrones ended before the first Shazam movie came out.
Yeah.
Like, so, I think it's time to move on. Yeah. But
let's talk about the ending.
Well, let's talk first about the ending in form of Wonder Woman.
Yes.
I heard people saying, like, oh, you know, I like the whole Wonder Woman through line joke and then everything. And then, like, I think Campia said that where he was like, oh, I really like that through. There is no through line. There's a scene that just. I saw this scene like a week before the movie came out. That scene of him and the fake Wonder Woman in the diner or in the Paris restaurant.
Really body double, by the way, obviously, because they don't show her. I feel like they had to do something because she wasn't there. So it's her body double.
Yeah.
FYI.
Yeah, for that scene. And then later when we actually see her, it's her. But for that scene. And I saw that scene out of context and I was just like, oh, that's cool. I wonder why they're on a date. There's just no explanation. It's just a dream sequence that is just, but it's like a hard cut to it from something completely different. So you're like, what is happening right now? How did this happen?
And then it's all just a dream. Just like,
Jimon Hansu's head is on Wonder Woman's body, which is like a funny moment, but it's like, it just makes no sense. Like, what is the point of all of this? And then that's really it. And then he also, you know, he makes a couple of jokes about, you know, that he's attracted to Wonder Woman and that he thinks she's hot and everything like that because he's a 17, 18-year-old kid. And then the end, man, that is one of the most egregious Deus Ex Machina. Just Billy Batson is dead. And, you know, they're just like, well, too bad. We can't get our powers back and we can't bring Billy back because there's no more gods left. And then it's just, oh, but there is still a god left. It was just like, what the fuck? And then she just walks in. She knows immediately what to do, who everyone is. Makes no sense. No sense.
I literally just sat there. I was like, oh my God. Like, I just rolled my eyes. I was like, give me a fucking break. And I think I had seen like a tweet that was like, why are they keep trying to shove Wonder Woman down our throat or something like that? And in my head, I'm like, reading the tweet.
She's been in what, four movies?
Before I saw the movie, I was like, okay, this seems like a bit of an overreaction. But on the same hand, I was like, after watching the movie, I was like, honestly, I think they should have just killed him, honestly. If he's not coming back, I think it's fine. But, I think just leave him dead.
No, I agree.
If you want to bring him back in later, you know?
Yeah.
When's the next time we're going to see Shazam in the next 5 years? Probably not really at all, I'd have to imagine.
Or even
personally, I thought they were just gonna leave him dead.
You know what would have been an even better way to end this movie?
What's that?
Is like, even if you wanted to do the awful Wonder Woman introduction, don't have it be that she walks up in this beautiful, glowing, golden shot, walks up, looks at everybody, everybody looks at her, and she goes, "Give me the staff," and just knows what to do. She goes, she Nanny McPhees it and chinks it on the ground. All this, you know, energy and everything goes up and it's this beautiful stuff. And then Billy comes back to life and everything. It's so melodramatic and like, oh, like, it's just so, like you said, it's like, yes, everybody's like, well, it's a movie for kids. Is it though? because there's really a lot of like weird things in it. But I'm saying I think this is a moment where I think the movie ends on a much more like interesting note. If maybe the movie ends with, you know, she looks at the wizard Shazam and is just like, you know, you think this will work? It's like, there's only one way to know. And then maybe she just hits it on the ground and that's when the movie ends. So we don't know if he's going to survive or not. Because you know he's going to survive. But why undo it 9 minutes later? You know what I mean? That way you're actually leaving it on an interesting cliffhanger. And then maybe in a post-credit scene, you can have maybe, you know, somebody go up to Freddy instead, you know? Because obviously, like you said, we know Shazam will be back. But it'll give it that emotional weight. Instead, it's just all undone after like 10-15 minutes.
Speaking of like the family thing you said, how about the dragon that makes, you know, fear seep out of your pores or whatever they were saying about
whatever the fuck that was about.
I think they could have done something interesting where maybe this is, you know, stealing from Harry Potter or something like that, but you know, make it like a what's it called, one of those things that they transform into your greatest fear.
Wasn't enough.
What do you mean?
Like the room of doors in this?
Oh, no.
Just like the room of requirement.
Right. No, I did think of it. Yeah, I thought of that too. But maybe you make it like the what's that thing that they're, it's in the chest and it comes out, it's your biggest fear.
In Harry Potter. Right, yeah.
Maybe you make it some kind of like that. Yeah, maybe you kind of mix that in there. Like, you know, obviously they're staring into this light that's terrifying, or it's, you know, kind of like Pennywise when you're staring into its mouth and the lights are getting, you know, all that stuff. Maybe you do something creative there. I feel like that wasn't, they're just kind of staring into this blue light. It's like, okay, what are we seeing?
Yeah. And I really, to me, like, I almost didn't even pick up on that the first time. Like, I'm thinking when they were both powerless and Freddy and Anne are, like, you know, kind of on the ground. And he's, like, it's that shot from the trailer where he's, like, holding up his cane to it and they're, like, screaming. Right. And you're, like, are they just in pain? Or are they, like, being shown a vision? Like, there's no, like, even just a cheesy, like, Sam Raimi, like quick, like, shot into their head of, like, their family screaming or something like that. You know, just something quick like that to... You know, something like Star Wars, everything can do visions. You know, you just play some audio, play some screams and stuff. Like you said, like with the Dementors even, too, in the same movie, like just how Harry hears his mom screaming and stuff. You could have done something like that to portray that. I feel like they just kind of added that after
they told us, like, they told us what it did, but they didn't show us, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And other than, you know, her controlling people, which is not really the same thing.
The
only effective one was with the teacher.
Yeah, we left that too. They did that, and then they just didn't do it again, really.
Yeah, they just never went back to it. It was in the opening and then with the teacher, and that was pretty much it.
Right.
You know, it would have been interesting. She could have probably done it on Helen Mirren and been like, close. Oh, yeah. Like, why didn't she do that? But I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it doesn't work or something.
But Michelle in chat, let's pivot over to end out here. Michelle in chat says, was there an end credit scene for Shazam 2? Because maybe I will just go sleep through the movie and wake up in time for the end credit. Let's talk about the post-credit scenes.
End credits.
So, again, I will say this. If you haven't seen the movie yet, I really don't think you should care about these spoilers because one is absolutely never being picked up on again, and one may be picked up on again or maybe referenced again. And that's a big maybe, and I'm not talking about the Shazam part of it. I think, let's talk about the first one. So the first one is, newly revived and better than ever. Billy Batson is in some sort of a, forest, shooting lightning at an abandoned gas station from the 70s, shooting lightning and target practice at some bottles, and then who walks up but John Economos and Amelia Harcourt from the Suicide Squad, Peacemaker, Black Adam. Only two people cross over from Black Adam to this, and that is of course Jumaane Hansu and Amelia Harcourt. This was, of course, now the scene that we've heard was originally supposed to be Hawkman introducing him to the Justice Society, but clearly that had been changed. So that's really all this scene is. And don't get me wrong, I was great to see Amelia Harcourt and John Economos back. Clearly, I don't know if you got this vibe, clearly the Black Adam Amelia Harcourt scenes were filmed before Peacemaker, and these ones were filmed after Peacemaker, because in Black Adam, she's in this, like, all black leather outfit with this, like, short hair and a ponytail. In this one, she looks straight out of an episode of Peacemaker. So clearly, you know, this was done after the whole vibe of her and Peacemaker had been established and everything. And I gotta say, I went on this kind of tangent with a friend of mine, where if this universe was continuing, I think to have your equivalent of Nick Fury and Phil Coulson be Amanda Waller, and then her Phil Coulson be Amelia Harcourt, sign me up for that a million times. Give me Amelia Harcourt in every post-credit scene to bring all this together. We're building a team. Is it exactly what Marvel did? Yes. They're comic books. They mirror each other all the time. It's fine. You can only build a team in one of a few ways. And I just think that connective tissue is a great idea, to have Amelia Harcourt be that Phil Coulson figure who can kind of dip in and out of all these different franchises. I wish, you know, retrospectively, I wish how it would have felt like everything tied in even more if, like, Amelia Harcourt was in, like, a post-credit on Birds of Prey. Like, if she went up and somehow introduced herself to Harley or something, that would have been some great planning and just some great finally bringing everything together. But that being said, that aspect of the post-credit scene with her acting as kind of Waller's, you know, envoy of explaining the Justice Society, welcoming Shazam to it, everything like that, and the kind of jokiness, I liked. It's just too bad that it's not going to go anywhere. And will never be picked up on again. But what did you think of the first post-credit scene? And then we'll get to the even more pointless one in a minute.
I thought, yeah, it was fine. I think there is a slim possibility that is picked up on again. I think it is possible, because I don't know if we're going to rule. Like I said, I don't think maybe we're ruling out Zachary Levi as Shazam again. But I don't think we're definitely not going to see him for years. We're not gonna see that character for a long time.
If he is going to be the Shazam going forward, the next time, and I don't think we are ever seeing a Shazam 3 ever.
No.
You know, unless it's going to be the gap of what's like a huge gap? Thor, Doctor Strange to Doctor Strange 2. Unless it's going to be like 6 years in between sequels, which some Marvel movies do end up being like 6 years, that maybe it could be in a totally different place, whatever. But I think
or if ever Shazam gonna see him 3 again, is some sort of Civil War movie.
Yeah, some sort of bigger universe thing. But that's what I was going to say is if you ever see Zachary Levi again, I think it's going to be in a Civil War sized Justice Society movie. I think the next time, and I think to credit them, they got it in just under the wire. I think there's absolutely enough setup baked in that just next time we see Shazam, if they ever do a Justice Society movie, like James Gunn has said, he was like, I think he said like less than half of chapter one of everything, Gods and Monsters, has been released. If one of those titles is a Justice Society movie, he could very well say, and in that movie is going to be Zachary Levi's return as Shazam. You know, and I think they've earned that because they've set that up at least. How it's going to work with what universe it's set in and how the Flash is going to reset everything. Who the hell knows? But let's talk about this this last thing here with the final post-credit scene of the movie, which is basically a sequel to the last post-credit scene of the first Shazam movie, which is we get a look, you know, 2 or 3 years later now from the last Shazam movie. You get a look at Dr. Savannah, Mark Strong, in the same prison cell that we saw him in the last post-credit scene, talking again, like you said, to the little worm guy, Mr. Mind. Or is he a worm, or what is he, a caterpillar?
I think he's a caterpillar.
Yeah.
He's
definitely not a worm. Yeah, I don't know why I said worm. But yeah, I think he's a caterpillar. But even less to talk about. Just because that one, you know, the hardcore thing, at least it could be setting up something to do with maybe Peacemaker. Maybe Shazam has a role to play in Peacemaker. Maybe it's just to set up that team is still out there. Or maybe it builds up to something bigger with a Justice Society movie down the line. This one, however, it is only setting up Shazam 3. and a Shazam 3 that is likely never ever going to happen. So, you know, it, while it was nice to see Mark Strong again, I worry this is now the third DC post-credit scene in a row that sets up Mark Strong to be this big bad villain that is never going to go anywhere. How did you kind of feel about this one of just, you know, him and Mr. Mind reconnecting?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like, okay, you know, that'd be cool if maybe this was going anywhere. Mr. Mind kind of says, you know, I got this plan, but I can't tell you just yet. So I'm going to come back at some point when I have everything figured out. That will not be a thing ever. It just reminds me of the, which movie is it? Is it BVS or Justice League? The Jesse Eisenberg, you know, shouldn't we have
our own that's League Justice of Villains League, or whatever it's called? Shouldn't we have a League of our own?
Our own, yeah. Of one of those, like, setups that it'll just never get paid off ever.
Such wasted potential with those two.
I'm so interested to see what The Flash is.
I know.
If it's that good, and just to see how we reset everything. Assuming that's what this movie does, you'd have to imagine it does. And then I think everybody's, I think a lot of the reports too around Aquaman have been that it's not great as well. So
once we get, I think piece of shit is what people have been referring to it as. What was I going to say? But I think the last thing I'll say before we close out here is with what you said about The Flash, I think I'm excited for it to be a great movie like everyone says, but to me, I will be disappointed in the movie if it doesn't properly set up whatever this new reset's going to be. And you might be like, well, the movie just has a responsibility to be a good movie. It doesn't have to, you know, placate to what I want and what I want the reset to be. I agree 100%. The only thing is, James Gunn said The Flash will act as our reset and you will understand how things are going to be after The Flash. And I don't want it to be that The Flash comes out and it's a great movie and at the end they're like, man, sure glad we set everything straight. And then James Gunn's like, all right, let me break down for you how everything's different now. Like, I want that to happen in the movie, and I just worry that I don't think that somebody like Tom Cruise would watch The Flash, and if the end is like setting up this whole new universe, be like, man, that was great. I feel like he'd be like, what was that last 20 minutes? I didn't understand whatever was going on. Why was there a Batman? Why was Val Kilmer in this? Like, you know, I don't know what it's going to be, but just like, I feel like that kind of stuff, it's going to be hard to juggle when it comes to The Flash. Because it was hard enough in this movie, and this had almost nothing to do with the multiverse or anything like that at all. But yeah, Shazam 2, not that great, I don't think. If you weren't planning on going to see it, I would just skip it. They already announced that it's going to be available for purchase and VOD in, I think, like 30 days. So it sounds like they've just already given up on this movie. But guys, let us know, what did you think of Shazam 2?
Star rating.
Oh, star rating. I will give it, I'll say 3 stars out of 5. I think there was some stuff in it I enjoyed. Again, I think that Mary Marvel, the sister, I think that she was fantastic in this. I would love to see, you know, an HBO Max show of her. You know, I just thought that she really embodied that character super, super well. So did Adam Brody as Freddy, as the superhero version of Freddy. I think that those two are easily the best on there, with probably Megan Good as Darla being a close third. I think that she's fantastic. All of her stuff with the kittens was funny and sweet without being, like, over the top. Yeah, agreed. But yeah, I mean, I think those are some of the highlights for me. So I would say 3. I think very similar to Ant-Man, I think I enjoyed watching this movie, but, you know, it's like a Hot Pocket or something like that. You know what I mean? It's just, there's just nothing in it. It's like it gets you through the day, it gets you through the meal, but, you know, there's nothing on the other side but heartache and stomach pains. Not for me, but... You know, what would you give it out of the old 5 stars?
I gave it a 2.
Fair enough. Very fair.
A few tiny things here and there that maybe were enjoyable a little bit, but overall just did not hit for me. and on to the Flash, I guess.